Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
This hour on the programme, we're continuing our coverage in the build-up to this year's House of Keys general election by speaking to another of the candidates to have put the name forward. Today's election 2016 candidate interview is with 62-year-old Andrew Smith, who will be standing in the now two-seat constituency of Garth. Good afternoon, Andrew. Welcome to the programme.
Yeah, good afternoon to you.
First of all, for people who don't know, you tell us all a little bit about yourself.
Well, I arrived on the island as a consequence of a move with work in 1986. And we chose to live in Laxey. We've been very involved in the community since then. And I'm an accountant by profession. And prior to moving to the island, I did a lot of work within the agricultural sector and other things, obviously, regarding general accountancy. And then whilst I've been on the island, then I've been involved in all the various sectors other than e-gaming. So construction, funds, private banking, aircraft, yacht management, etc., etc.
And you're retired now, are you?
Yeah, semi-retired. I've still got a business interest in the Ferry Cottage filling station in Laxey.
Oh, right.
I still support Ruby, obviously looking after the paperwork and doing the heavy lifting, etc., but Ruby's still front lady at Ferry Cottage filling station.
And you're a Yorkshireman?
I am indeed. Try to hide the accent.
You know what they say, you can always tell a Yorkshireman, but you can't tell him much.
Oh, well, I'm listening.
Fair dues. You served as a commissioner for some time, looking through your notes. It seems that you've been very involved in the community in Laxey as a commissioner and other things. But why didn't you continue with that if you want to look after Laxey issues? Why do you feel that now is the time to bid to enter national politics?
Well, I think at the time I did a long term on the commissioners. The reason that I did have to stand down was because of my work commitments when I was working with the Isle of Man Government Financial Services Division and obviously travelling a lot abroad promoting the island. So it was important, if you're on a board of any description, if you're missing for half of the meetings, then it seemed a bit of a waste of time. And so therefore, that was the reason for that. I did run the election 21 years ago in Garth.
Oh, right.
Against Steve Roden. And I've always, Steve was successful, obviously. I've always supported Steve during that time. And I continued supporting him, continued promoting the Isle of Man government through my daily work. But also had a very key influence regarding Laxey Fair within the village, which I salvaged in 2002-2003, and I've run that ever since.
What will your focus be as an MHK? Will it be constituency issues, because that's part of the job, no two ways about it, or will it be looking after the interests of the Isle of Man as a whole?
Constituency to a certain extent. I believe that the commissioners are there for local issues. And, you know, much as we all drive over potholes and things day by day, then it's for them, with devolving of powers, to look after those issues. And, yes, if they need support from a higher level, that's fine. But I think we've got much larger fish to fry, as it were, because it's the major, major challenges ahead.
Oh, well, identify some of those challenges then.
Well, I mean, with people talk about Brexit, whatever you want to say about that. The thing is with that, everything is in disarray at the moment. UK politics, we can't hazard a guess as to what may be the full outcome regarding us. So I would say work with the UK where we're required to. But as I've always done, look beyond the UK and Europe. I've never, ever... Once did I go to Brussels. The rest of the time, all my business energies were into London and flying over Europe.
Yeah.
So there's life outside UK and Europe.
All right. So you don't think that Brexit is going to be a bad thing necessarily for the Isle of Man?
Not necessarily, no. Because I believe that just as we've done in financial services, to open doors for business, because obviously government, when I was with government, we can't do the business, we're a facilitator.
Yeah.
So we're a conduit to that business, and it's for the business, obviously, sector to continue to do that. And in financial services, the memorandums of understanding that we created as a platform is an open door policy.
Yeah.
So that regulators and people in other jurisdictions understand, the Isle of Man. So if any businesses then approach that jurisdiction, they're pushing it an open door. The Isle of Man is recognised, understand for what it is, its regulatory framework, its taxation, its political stability, etc., etc., etc. So therefore, that's what we could now continue to do, make our own arrangement. And in that instance, other than courtesy of visiting the British ambassador in the particular country, the UK government had no involvement whatsoever.
Right, OK. Well, I mean, various people that we've spoken to over the last few weeks have said that, you know, that there are all sorts of problems, with, that we're now too transparent a jurisdiction, that we've signed too many agreements, tax information exchanges and things like that, and it's left us on our back foot and uncompetitive. What's your view on that? Do you think that all these agreements were the best thing to do? Do you think that we're improving our reputation, or do you think that we're uncompetitive?
I think to a certain extent, it has made us more wider. In the wider sense, we are not as competitive as used to be. The problem is, as we've always said, we don't need to be in the vanguard. We don't need to be leading the push, because whilst ever we're doing that, then other jurisdictions that are behind us are continuing to benefit as a consequence. So therefore, I think it's important to recognise that a new administration can revisit these agreements. Nothing is set in concrete. It's just as the customs agreement or the reciprocal health agreement could be revisited by our UK friends. That once they've had a raid on the VAT purse once, it doesn't mean that they can't do it again, I'm afraid. So we have to be understanding that we're always under that threat. But please, let's be very positive and say, let's re-look at these agreements. And if we need to renegotiate.
But are we in a position to? It strikes me that whenever the UK makes a declaration that they're going to change things, we've not got a very strong hand. You know, if you're playing poker, then we've got a handful of rubbish and the UK's got all the aces.
I'm not convinced that they will have now. I believe that the changes in the UK with the disruption of the Labour Party, you could well have the Scottish Nationals or the UKIP could be the biggest opposition, quite possibly. The Conservatives are keen on what they are obviously looking to do. And I believe that the new mix of politicians in the UK could well assist further the Isle of Man in its endeavours, because we have no money physically here. All the markets and sterling is driven by London. So we have to recognise that anything that happens within those markets, when we saw the crash in sterling after Brexit vote, affects everyone here, and we can do very little about that. So I think by working with UK politicians, we have a better influence, recognising the wealth of ours that's into the city. And vis-a-vis, we can therefore look at renegotiating, or at least having a very, very strong lobby at Westminster.
So do you see this next administration as, you know, to throw a catchphrase in, a dawn of a new era in terms of our relationship with the UK, say?
Definitely. New era as part of the Isle of Man, because there are a lot of existing politicians who are no longer standing. A new area in regard of locals, because obviously some of the politicians have decided that we've got a lot of mix of younger people, new ones coming into the local ones. And I also believe that we need to, obviously, anyone that comes into politics in this particular term has to literally hit the ground running, and we have to pick up literally where the last administration has left off, and we cannot rest on our laurels and leave no stone unturned.
Pretty much every candidate I've spoken to says what we need to do is that we need to enhance the economy. We need to get more people to come over here and set up companies. We need to find new opportunities for the Isle of Man to do business globally. You're in the position of having sort of done that as a job. You've been a salesman for the Isle of
Yes.
Man. So are we doing all that we can do, or have we been lazy?
I think we're, in some cases, we have been complacent. Because when times are good, we obviously relax. And unfortunately, there's no time for relaxing. There never has been. Because as fast as you gain a business, you lose one off the other end.
Yeah, yeah. So one step forward and two back.
You're not fighting to get business. You have to fight to keep it as well. Because there are the other jurisdictions. It's dog eat dog out there, head to head all the time. And that was exactly the same when I was in government as it is today.
Do you think we do a reasonable job, though, globally in promoting the Isle of Man?
I think that the profile that we get is positive.
But so we're not seen as a shaded little tax haven anymore?
I don't believe that's the case. I mean, yes, there'll be still those critics that say, talk about tax havens and whatever, but I mean, those are days in the past. As long as the people, if they can see a government that's committed and driving, then the business can latch onto that and be equally committed and driving, and then the whole of the Isle of Man prospectus is positive.
You say the financial state of the island at the moment is down to inept management of the public purse. Isn't it more to do with global financial crises and the reduction of the VAT revenue?
To a certain extent, because what you have a situation, as I mentioned, alluded to before, a fall in sterling obviously hits government revenues as much as any, because all the investments, pensioners, you know, pension funds, whatever it may be, has an effect on that. However, we've seen it over and over again, you know, consultative reports telling us what we already know, and we just keep paying and paying. It's ridiculous. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. We have enough people of influence and affluence on this Isle of Man to actually, and they are willing, after speaking to many of them, they are willing to actually offer the benefit of their experience and wise counsel.
But you've lived here long enough to realise that if somebody that lives in the Isle of Man comes up with an idea, it'll be rubbish to half the people who listen to it.
Not true anymore, not true.
But do you not think that that's why they often go to consultation? Because at least they've got a third-party endorsement of some sort of a plan, even if it's their own plan.
Then they're ducking the issue. If all they're looking to do is you tell the consultants what you expect,
yeah,
and then the consultants then come back to you, you pay X thousand pounds for it, and then you've covered your back. That's not the way forward.
Do you think that government ought to lead more rather than consult on just about everything?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And the thing is that if all constituency MHKs were actually getting the views of their people on a regular basis, then it would be a different... I'm convinced it would be a different scene in the House of Keys.
Do you think that... I mean, this is the trouble with a democracy. It's a beauty contest, and every 5 years you've got to stand up in front of people and parade your assets, and you've got to keep people on side. Now, you know, a lot of people say that the next 5 years is probably going to be the toughest the Isle of Man's ever faced. So how do you do the job that needs to be done in terms of the island while still keeping the electorate on side?
Well, I'm saying if you're speaking to the electorate, okay, then you're getting that feedback. We're always talking about feedback and trying to measure in this and one thing or another.
But if you were inside the system, yeah, and you knew that you had to vote one way on that, but everybody outside thought that was rubbish, you know, if it was, say, income tax, you knew, you'd seen the figures, you knew that income tax had to go up a couple of percent, yes, or whatever, people, the electorate would all howl at that, however much you explained it, surely.
No, not necessarily. I think that if you're true, you stand up for what you believe in, and you're true, and you tell people as it is, you're honest with people from the outset, say, look, this is the situation, we're all in this. This is the situation. For us to salvage anything and to ensure that we have this strong, prosperous nation going forward, then we have to do whatever the suggestion may be. Mm. Obviously, any suggestion would have been very, very carefully considered. So it's not just a rash, you know, or an irrational...
Yeah.
Throwaway policy.
All right. You'd like to see more scrutiny of public spending. It could be argued that if you increase scrutiny too far, nothing's ever going to get done.
Well, no, it will. I mean, if government should run exactly like any responsible business or household. And everyone knows that if you know what you have to do to manage your household finances, your business budget, etc., etc. And if government runs like that, then you know exactly what you can spend and what you can't spend.
Yeah. You've got no socks, you can't pull them up, my dad used to say.
This is it.
All right, you believe a more integrated work ethic is needed when it comes to capital projects. Explain that to me. What do you mean, a more integrated work ethic?
Well, because we see so many workers on a project not physically doing what we think they should be doing and being paid to do.
Ah, yeah, but just because we see them leaning on a shovel, it doesn't mean to say that they're not doing anything. It might be, you know, in between loads turning up or something.
Well, we only hear about George Foreman leaning on a lamppost, but, you know, we're not talking about people leaning on a shovel. We're talking about people using them and actually get, you know, actually... I mean, what the thing is that we've got... You look out of the window here. You've got a beautiful view, a beautiful island, an island nation, and we are looking to promote this to its best possible extent and to see it grow and prosper for future generations. So if everybody had that in their heart, would they not do a better job for the whole island?
Okay, but you're going to face some fairly ingrained resistance to that.
Fair enough, but that's what my belief is.
So what? Either do it, you know, walk the walk or talk the talk or get out and do something else?
You've got, stand up for your principles, because otherwise you seem to have no backbone.
All right. 15 seconds to tell the people of Garth why they should vote for Andrew Smith.
Because I believe that I'm competent, conscientious, dedicated, a caring person, and I will look after everyone's interests within Garth, but more than that, I will look after the island's population as a whole in the difficult times that we find currently in this world of ours.
Candidate for Garth, Andrew Smith, thanks for joining us today.
Keep up to date with the latest House of Keys general election 2016 coverage on manxradio.com. It's here, the island's most energy-efficient home built by Complete Construction Services. Using an affordable, award-winning passive system so thermally efficient, it doesn't even need a heating system. So no more scary energy bills. If you'd love a super-insulated home, a passive house could be the answer. And Complete Construction are leading the way. See our latest projects on Facebook or visit our website at ccs-iom.com. Complete Construction Services. Building homes for the future, now.
At Ramsey Art Gallery, Jewellers and Engravers, we believe in beautiful things.
See our unique selection of original paintings by Michele Tramontana, plus his limited edition prints of local Manx scenes.
Our fast picture framing service allows you to perfectly showcase your treasure.
And discover our impressive giftware, jewellery, watches and trophies with engraving service available.
Find Ramsey Art Gallery, Jewellers and Engravers opposite the RNLI shop in Ramsey or visit ramseyartgallery.com.
What does £3 get you these days? Did you say not a lot? You need to check out your local Subway. Right now, £3 is all it takes to get the real deal. A range of delicious 6-inch subs to choose from, plus your choice of a hot or cold drink. Complete with a smiling welcome and speedy service. The £3 real deal, only in Subway. Chester Street, Douglas, Derby Road, Peel and Brighton Street, Port Erin now. Subway. Eat fresh. Participation may vary. See in store for details.
Shoot the presenter, not very good at arithmetic. I've just been told that I should cut that interview short by 10 minutes, which is highly unfair. So we're still here with Andrew Smith, who's standing in Garth. Apologies for that.
Not to worry.
We've got 10 minutes. I thought it had gone through fairly quickly, but not that quickly. Let's have a look at some of the other things that you're saying there. You think that the island's too reliant on e-gaming. Would you move away from that? Because, you know, it's taken a while to build up and it's very successful for us now. So.
No, the only thing I said regarding e-gaming is that it's very transient. It can move overnight and we just have to be, continue to encourage.
That's always been the thing about finance, though, hasn't
it? Well, not as easily as e-gaming. Finance is a bit more. I mean, we've just seen that in the case of, sadly, Habib Bank. Now, Habib Bank had been here one of the longest, and it was a full, the difficulty and the worry about that one, it was a full subsidiary, not just a branch. And so it's a very sad day to see that happen. Obviously, I've met with the owners in Dubai, and it's not necessarily their wish, it's just circumstances. And I think, again, that comes back to what you mentioned before about these agreements.
But is it anything that the Isle of Man could have done anything about, or is this external factors that have meant that they've moved out?
No, I think it's a combination. It's a combination of external factors, as you mentioned, but it's also as a consequence of the change in regulatory, the regulator framework that the banks now have to adhere to.
You say that the public's confused over pensions. I know that I'm confused over pensions, both public sector and state pensions. Do you think that it's just a case of trying to clarify this for everybody, or do you think that more action's needed?
Clarification, definitely. And there's a lot of people out there that are very, very worried, anxious about it. But we know definitely that we do have to do something, because we cannot carry on with the final salary schemes that we have. But I'm not that negative that I cannot see that we can redress the balance.
Well, people might say it's all right for you talking about changing things because you've had yours, so you've had your money out of the pension scheme.
I haven't had anything yet.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just to clarify that, I haven't had nothing at all.
Fair enough. You say that the ageing population is one of the main issues facing the island. That's something that the Chief Minister's been alluding to, the Treasury Minister's been alluding to for ages now. It's a good thing that everybody's living longer, isn't it? But what changes need to be made to provide the care that's needed for people?
For health services and social services, I believe that, obviously, you can't have an open check, but you need to be exceptionally understanding towards committing as much finance as you possibly can. And as I mentioned also, to look, keep a watchful eye on the demographics of any situation within that, because you could have situations in health that suddenly a pinch point that you weren't expecting. There could be a sudden drain on resources. So obviously there'll always be a call on that. There's different diseases, etc., etc., that's coming to light day by day. So I think we've got to be very understanding of that, but definitely we need to support fully. A wish is that anyone over the age of 65 would not have to pay for anything.
Mm-hmm.
They get the pension, they retire at the ages that we remember we retire at,
mm-hmm.
and then after 65, nothing, because those people that retire currently at 65 and a little bit below have been the backbone of our nation. They've diligently and legally contributed day in, day out, national insurance, you name it, even back to contribution pensions, and before it was NI almost.
And a lot of these people feel as though they've been cast adrift and that they've been vilified almost by society.
Yeah, because now we're kicking them when they're down. I mean, if they've got a private pension, they've seen that diminish as a consequence of stock market and sterling. If they've got a public pension, they now say, hang on a minute, you're going to make you work longer, or they just mess about around the edges with bus passes, and then they're talking about the TV licence. These people, as I say, they've been fundamental to actually building that pension pot in the first place.
All right. We've talked very much about national and international issues. Let's come back to the constituency then. You'd like to see something done about internet and mobile services in part of the constituency. I would have thought that the island was pretty well covered now, isn't it?
Garth seems to have a few black spots.
You're in the valley, that's
why. Yeah, that's right. Probably when the mist down, but no. Often, when I've been talking to constituents and they've been down in Dreamscary, wherever it may be, I've been on the main road and it's gone, lost.
Really?
Lost the signal.
Okay.
Or fizzled out. So I think there's definitely something that needs to be done, and I can't be the only one experiencing that.
And is that a job for politicians to look at, or is
no,
that
no? It's something for me to highlight,
right?
Because obviously if it's not just me, it must be also an issue with residents, constituents of Garth. So hopefully someone would say, well, yeah, we need another mast here or whatever it may be to make telecommunications a lot better within Garth.
Okay. You said there's a wide chasm between the public and politicians. Surely that's always been the case, hasn't it? It's always been a them and us, hasn't it? Is it just that people don't engage with politics at any level rather than with the politicians themselves?
I think it has, but in days recently when I've been canvassing, then there seems to be this, I would say, widening divide. Now, it may be that they don't want to engage in politics, but I believe now when they actually, if they get the whole truth and they see the situation that we are in as a nation, then they will be more keen to actually engage, because it's in their own interest so to do.
It just strikes me that people are driven by fear these days. There are no good news stories anymore. We're all being told that there's no money left and that services are going to be cut, that we're going to be charged more for everything. You know, isn't that going to turn people off politics even more, to the point where people just think, well, we've elected them, let them sort it out?
To a certain extent, but again, if you really get to grips with them and they see that you are trying to be honourable, you're trying to do the best for them, and that you keep them informed once you are or whatever may be in power, or then, and they're on side, and they can see that you're making a difference, then surely they will continue to support in that
And
way.
How will you do that? If people are not particularly engaged in politics, so they don't listen to Tim Wald or the House of Keys, they turn off when they hear the news and our politicians spouting about things, how are you going to engage those people?
Well, what I would like to do is just to either have events, surges, whatever it may be, within the constituency, and invite them not to a political meeting.
Yeah.
They're not interested. Say, well, look, we're not looking at major political issues. What we're looking at here is how can you help to make a difference for your constituency, for your island, in this situation that we now find ourselves.
Are you up to speed in things like social media? Could you use that to stay in touch with people?
Yes, I've already got set up a a website for and called it Garth Matters.
Right.
Now, under title, that means that Garth is important, and it also means that it's to do for matters relating to Garth.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Laxey, staying with Laxey then. Laxey was hit by severe flooding last year. You say a flood action plan is urgently needed. What do you think that might cost?
Well, we don't know the cost yet, but whatever happens, there is currently a topographical survey being undertaken. I was in the river the other day with the guys, actually, with their measuring machines, etc., etc. And the thing that we need to look at here, it's not just Laxey. This is a whole Garth issue. Flooding was experienced from Whitebridge through Liverpool Arms, Baldrine, into Pinfold, to Laxey, Rensell, Baldoon, Hibernia, the whole place. And what happens is that there's been lack of maintenance in banks and drainage. There's been things left to overgrow, which have created blockages. And there are still some issues where trees are cut and left lying. Now, that's an ideal opportunity for a river in flood to pick them up and bring them down with the floodwaters.
But the DOI would say, well, we're trying to work on smaller budgets and we have not got the people to do those jobs. We used to do them years ago, we just haven't got the staff these days.
Well, I would disagree. They have got the staff. In fact, what I would say is, regarding the current DOI, it reminds me of many years ago, the county councils in the United Kingdom. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, we're talking about the Isle of Man, not the United Kingdom, but this is relevant. Because what happened is they created county councils and they had more machinery than the eye could see.
Yeah.
They got more men and none of it was fully deployed. So then they went back to metropolitan borough councils. So what I'm saying is that we can be now like very much like a metropolitan borough council, if you wish, where there is all this, there is plenty of equipment, plenty of manpower. We just need to ensure
we need to work smarter.
We do.
All right. Exactly. Very quickly, because we're out of time.
Well, this time it's right. We're definitely out of time this time.
You'd like to see the experience of visitors improved. How can you do that quickly?
I just want to, what I would like to say is it's a whole life experience from when they arrive at the airport, sea terminal, whatever it is. Everyone is embracing, everyone welcomes them, the hotels, the restaurants, and they get the buzz that the Isle of Man is a great place to visit and they want to tell all their friends about it, and hopefully that will assist in bringing more people here.
That sounds like a plan. All right, finally then, and apologies again for splitting into two bits, Andrew Smith from Garth, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.